Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offence of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. May the Lord bless that reading in his word. Trust me. This evening. And here is tonight the focus for us sinners of the work of Christ. For freedom, Christ has made us free. For freedom, Christ has made us free. Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom, in the liberty, the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. And that's why Jesus died. Set guilty sinners free. Set them free from the curse of the law. There seemed to be no escape. Condemnation was all there was. There was no ray of hope. There was no glimmer of hope. All under the law were condemned. And Jesus died to set guilty sinners free from that curse of the law. And when people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, when he comes into their hearts and lives, then the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives. That new birth, that fullness of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in our hearts and lives that we might be enabled to do what God has called us to do. To live as God wants us to live. What we couldn't do before, we can now do in the power of the Spirit of God. And in Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, Paul reminds them, this only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? In chapter 4, verse 6, it then shows to us that we are sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We're saved by grace through faith. Amen. And we live our lives in the power of the Spirit by grace. Amen. Through faith. There's no room anywhere for the works of the flesh, for what we're able to do, for what we're able to chip in. No, it's all of God.
Amen.
It's the Christ life. Mm. Christ died. He paid the price on the cross for us.
Thank you.
So that the Spirit of God could work in our lives, that we, being cleansed from sin through the blood of Jesus, might be filled with the Holy Spirit, born again of the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit working in our lives, making us sons of God, born again of his Spirit, born of God, sons of God.
Amen.
And Paul is exhorting these people, these churches in Galatia, to stand fast, firmly, in that freedom, in that liberty. We couldn't free ourselves from sin. Nobody could. But only through Christ. Only through Christ. And in him, we can stand and serve God and live for God in his power. So he's exhorting here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free. And then, on the opposite side, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't be held again in that yoke of bondage. The idea of the yoke is that we're bound to something. When two oxen were yoked together, one was yoked to the other, and they had to move together or they got nowhere. And when we were under the yoke of bondage, we were bound to sin. And that's the way we lived. We couldn't escape from it, we couldn't be free from it. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Trying to do your best, trying to turn the corner. You can't because you're yoked to sin. But when Jesus was teaching, in Matthew chapter 11, he gave forth this glorious invitation. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, 30. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden. You're under that yoke of bondage. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. All, no longer yoked to you, but yoked to Jesus. He leads the way. And the pathway he treads, we tread. Hallelujah. The way he lived, we live. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In Matthew 23 and verse 4, this is what's happened to the Christians in Galatia. They've had Judaizers come in saying that faith in Christ is not enough. You've got to fulfill the law, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to obey the law, then you can have access to Christ. It says Jesus talked about the Pharisees, that they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, they lay them on men's shoulders. They themselves will not remove them with one of their fingers. And in verse 2 here of Galatians chapter 5, Paul calls to them, he's calling to them, Paul, I Paul, behold, look, pay attention. Listen, I, Paul, I say unto you, if you be circumcised, he's not talking about those who were Jews, who were circumcised as Jews and then became Christians. He's talking about these Gentiles who are now being told that before they can have faith in Christ, they've got to be circumcised. Having come to Christ, having put their faith and trust in Christ, being saved by God's grace, they're now being led back to, you've got to do the works. I, Paul, say unto you, I, Paul, the Pharisee of the Pharisee, the strictest sect of the Jews, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, if that's the pathway you're now going to tread, having received the grace of God, being saved by his grace, if you are now going to be circumcised, then Christ shall profit you nothing. That's how they came. They came to Jesus in repentance and faith and knew his salvation. They knew that cleansing of the precious blood of Jesus. And now you want to be circumcised? Now you're trying to earn and deserve your salvation? What are you doing? You're saying that the work of Christ on the cross was inadequate. There's more for us to do. No. When Jesus died on the cross and we accepted him as Lord and Saviour, his work on the cross for us was complete and perfect. We need nothing else. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. To be circumcised. Now that they have accepted Christ or gone that pathway, accepting Christ as Saviour and Lord, to be circumcised is to turn away from Christ and to look to their own efforts. He says in verse 3, I testify again to everyone that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. There's an obligation. There's an obligation to keep the whole law. In James chapter 2 and verse 10, James says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. In chapter 3 here of Galatians, in verse 10, he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Once you go that pathway of the law, then you've got to keep the whole law. That's the whole thing about the law. It makes a way of salvation if you can keep the whole law. And nobody can. The moment you start treading that pathway, you're bringing yourself under condemnation. Because you will always fall short. You will always fail. It's only in Christ the one who did not fail, the one who kept the laws, commands, the one that walked that perfect pathway, born without sin, lived a life without sin. Only he could pay the price for us sinners, that we should be cleansed and set free. You can't go back, says Paul to these Galatians, to works of the law. Christ, he says, in verse 4, is become of no effect. Christ is useless if you're going to try to establish your own righteousness by your own works, starting with circumcision, because it doesn't stop at circumcision. The moment you start that pathway, you're a debtor to do the whole law, and you'll fail. Whoever you are that's been justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. You've fallen out of grace. We're saved by grace through faith. And the moment we walk another pathway, we've fallen from grace. We've stepped out of the way of grace. What you're doing is you're turning back on God's grace as the only way of salvation. Therefore, there is no salvation. I think Paul has a confidence, which we'll see at the end, that if these people are truly born again of the Spirit, they will not proceed along that pathway. They might proceed a little way, thinking about these things, but Paul is expressing a confidence at the end that they will take heed. Because they are born of the Spirit, they will listen to the voice of the Spirit speaking to them through Paul. And then we look at verse 5. And if you like, we could start this little phrase off. On the other hand, we've looked at the dark side of moving away from grace, falling out of grace, and beginning to move according to the law in circumcision. But on the other hand, Paul says, for we, he's gone from speaking about those who are going the wrong way, he's now coming to his testimony. Now we, through the Spirit, all believers who are resting in God's grace, we by the Spirit, it's as a result of salvation, which is working in us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in us both to will and to do what God wants. By the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We start the journey by grace through faith. We're not trying to establish our own righteousness by being circumcised and doing all the things that the law demanded. We're living by grace through faith. We're starting the journey. But we should have, by faith, that confidence that we will make the full journey and we will stand at last in his presence in glory, in that full hope of the righteousness which is by faith. We live today by grace through faith, and therefore can enjoy communion with God. And we've got that glorious hope that one day we will stand in his presence.
Hallelujah.
We can say with John, first epistle of John, we can say with John, chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, by grace through faith. Now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as he is. We are waiting for that hope of righteousness. We are righteous in him, but one day we will stand in all the fullness and completeness of that righteousness, where we shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's that glorious hope of righteousness, which is by faith. Not by our trying to add to what the Lord has already started, through circumcision and whatever other laws might be foisted upon us. No, by grace, through faith, will be that manifestation of righteousness. You know, the book of Romans has such a lot to say about righteousness. So many verses, I can't read them all. But let's look at Romans chapter 10. That must be one. Verse 3. He speaks about those who have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law. No more need for circumcision. No more need for all the rules and the regulations under the law. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law. that the man which does those things shall live by them. We can't do it. We fail. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. What does it say? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. And we know Romans chapter 5, don't we? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Thank you.
How does it work? It's through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access also by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're looking for that fullness of righteousness, the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that patience works, that tribulation works patience, patience experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So justification is manifested by the righteousness of God in us now and forever. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There's no need for you to worry about what have you got to do, how can you make it better, how can you improve upon it. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. That's how it works. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. Matthew 13 and verse 43. Talking about the end. We're with him. It says, then, when we're with him, when the Lord has come again, then shall the righteous, is it their righteousness? No, it's the righteous who are righteous in Christ Jesus. The righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We are righteous, and we're going to be one day standing in his presence, in his glory, in his righteousness, in all its fullness. Praise the Lord. I'll give you one more verse from 1 Peter chapter 2, 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept. How are we kept? We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's nothing left for me to do, for Jesus did it all. Praise the Lord. And in verse 6 back here in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 6, it says, For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which works by love. Faith, which works through love. Love is the evidence of our union with Christ. In Romans 13, verse 10, it says, love works no ill to his neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. We're in him. Now Paul is asking them, verse 7, what happened? How have you got into the situation now where you've turned away from salvation by grace through faith to the works of the law, starting with being circumcised? You're Gentiles, and now these Judaizers have persuaded you you've got to be circumcised. He says, you are running well. There's a race, isn't there, to be run. We've got to run with patience the race set before us. And he says, you are running well. Who did hinder you? That word hinder can be translated better by, who beat you back? And the word who did hinder you, it's singular. I'm not talking about people, there's one person that's in mind here. There is a leader of the Judaizers who's trying to lead them astray. He says, who did hinder you, who beat you back, that you should not obey the truth? This is what it comes down to. They've known the truth, it's been shown to them, and they're being disobedient in following the voices of the Judaizers, you've got to be circumcised. Paul is pleading with them. This persuasion, this reasoning, this teaching, this argument, there's lots of reasoning that people would do with us. But in the end, you've got to come back to the Word of God, that which has been given to us, not reasoning, but the Word of God, and accept the word of God by faith. Too much reasoning, too much arguing and discussing and other opinions. We need the word of God. The Greeks had a special word for other opinions. It became our word, heresy. This persuasion, these ideas have not come from him that is calling you. You see, we are and can be subjected to all sorts of views. More so today, in the 21st century, than ever before. There were times when people hardly moved from the villages they were born in. We are subjected to all sorts of views today. Opinions, teachings, even here. Other churches. Oh, I'll go to that church because I like what they're teaching better than what they're teaching somewhere else. You know? Christian books, magazines, TV, CDs, so on and so on. Even stuff you get on your mobile phones these days. People live on their mobile phones, don't they? You've got to be careful. What we've got to know is to know his calling. This that you're following, he says, this persuasion does not come of him that is calling you. What is the call of God? We need to know ourselves the call of God in our lives. To know his word. To know his written word that he has given us. To know the voice of his spirit speaking within. You see, this persuasion was another gospel. And I think if you're living in the life of the Spirit, and you're living in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you're living with the word of God, the written word of God, and what the Spirit of God will teach you, you can be guarded against those things which are, to use an expression, bewitching, deceiving, enticing. You know, one of the big things that speak to lots of Christians today is money. The prosperity gospel. You can be so wealthy. This is the way. Well, tell that to Paul.
Yeah.
Tell that to Jesus. It's another gospel. We've got to know the calling of God. And so many people today are confused. They don't know the calling of God, and they're being led by that person that they hear one week, or that person another week, or the fellow that was on television on the God Channel or something another day. And every time they hear something new, it's, oh yeah, that's a good idea. We've got to know the calling of God. Get that confirmation in our hearts. We've got the word of God and the leading and guiding of his spirit. And if we're faithful in meeting together with believers and Christians that live by the word of God, we've got ministry one to another as well to help one another in the way. There are consequences, you see, in verse 9. It's a consequence which we need to know for our lives as well. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Leaven was always in the Bible representative of that which is evil and bad. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's what Jesus taught. There's a woman that had 3 measures of meal, he said in the parable. And she was making this for baking. And she worked into it leaven until the whole was leavened. It was a warning from Jesus. In the parables of the kingdom, in Matthew 13, of what would happen to the church visible, that leaven would work its way into it until the whole lump was leavened. That which was holy and pure and godly, 3 measures of meal, becomes filled with leaven. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, the same teaching, but this time applying it to sin being brought into the church. Here in Galatians, he's talking about these Judaizers who are introducing false doctrine. But Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven. Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. It's that which is new in Christ Jesus, the new life in him, day by day. New, every morning it's new as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We have to beware of false doctrine. It's leaven. We have to beware of legalism. It's leaven. Paul's talking about believers being told to be circumcised before they can have faith in Christ. But you know, through the centuries, religion has done the same thing. It may not be circumcision, but there are religious acts and things you have to do to be accepted by God. There are church procedures, there are church rituals, there are church ordinances, there are church ceremonies, it's so on and so on and so on, And if we start walking that pathway again, it's the pathway of works of the law and not grace by faith. We have to judge by the word of God. Not by pleasing arguments, which sort of tickle the ears. We need to judge by the word of God. And in some ways we have to say, beware of nice people. No, beware of nice people. We say, what's wrong with being nice? We say, well, that being nice. But sometimes the people we think are nice people, that's just the front. You see, these Judaizers probably didn't come with a great big stick, they just came with some help for advice. Beware. Always trust the word of God. But in verse 10, Paul has a confidence, you see. Because there is this thing, you see. People who are truly saved are saved. And eventually they will not be deceived. They will come to a realisation of the truth. And Paul says this in verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be no otherwise minded. You will have no other thought. What is the word of God saying in Philippians? He says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. He's got that confidence. In Philippians 1 and verse 6, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul's got this confidence, and those things seem to be going off the rails. Paul's got this confidence that if he speaks to them and ministers to them and opens their ears to the calling of God, they'll get things right. He says, I've got this confidence that you'll be none otherwise minded. You won't walk that pathway. And he that troubles you shall bear the judgment, whosoever he be. There is judgment for preaching and teaching wrong doctrine. Verse 11. And if I'm still teaching circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? You see, the root of circumcision is the root of works of the law. Not the cross of Christ. Not repentance and faith in the finished work of Christ. Paul says, I'm suffering persecution. But if I were preaching circumcision, I would not suffer persecution because there would not be any more the offence of the cross of Christ. The stumbling block of the cross of Christ. In fact, the Greek word is skandalon. The scandal of the cross of Christ. But I do preach grace by faith, says Paul. Not circumcision. If I were preaching circumcision, they wouldn't bother us. But I'm preaching and making a stand. As a Jew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, I'm making a stand for grace by faith. Paul's gospel, you see, is different. Paul's gospel was difficult to receive even by these Judaizers who'd made some outward profession of accepting Christ, because Paul preached a crucified Messiah, which went against the grain for Jewish people that day. That was the way of salvation. The crucified Messiah died for our sins. And rose again. Not works, but by grace through faith. And so it produced a furious opposition, demanding the death penalty for many Jews. Paul says, you know that I would not be telling you, I would not be preaching a lie in these circumstances. I wouldn't want to suffer the persecution that I've been suffering if it were a lie. It's the truth. And then Paul has a little word to say about those who have been leading them astray. The ones who are saying they ought to be circumcised. It's an interesting verse. I would, he says, they were even cut off, which trouble you. Well, you could understand that in terms of cut off from fellowship with you and so on. But the Greek word is actually amputate. Most Bible commentators that I've read say the amputation he's talking about is the amputation of going further than circumcision and removing another part of the male anatomy. Which many pagan priests in the days of Paul used to do. They would castrate, they would be castrated, so that they would gain more favour with their god, whatever gods they were worshipping. And you know, you'll find that in the Roman Catholic Church in history. Amongst some of the monks, they felt that doing that was making themselves pure for God. And it seems as though many commentators say that that's what Paul was saying. That if that's what they believe, they would go the full thing, they won't trouble you anymore. But whichever way you understand that, Paul is praying that these people will not bother them anymore, that they may be free to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and live for him by grace through faith. Praise the Lord. Amen.